You're listening to The Geek Awakens with Mitch,
Matt,
Tabitha,
and Lydia.
Welcome to our post C2E2 edition of The Geek Awakens, aka post 2E2. I like that. I'm sorry. I am joined with Matt and Tabitha, and also not Seth. The weather is gorgeous when we recorded, so we are actually recording today in the Obed's Beer Garden. So apologies if you A, notice any like weird noises or anything, and B, sorry if my speech starts to slur. I almost said if my slur starts the speech, but that's not a thing. Sadly, Lydia is home ill today, so we don't get to hear her experience about C2E2, but we wish her all the best. I want to start because this was probably one of, if not the biggest get that C2E2 got this year, and
it got
whatever. And Matt and Tabitha, you both got a chance to go to his panel and meet him and all that kind of stuff. So let's first talk about Brandon Sanderson.
Yeah, it was definitely a huge thing to get him for the con. And he didn't just show up, but he brought his publishing company, Dragonsteel, and their incredible booth, stocked with books and pins and all sorts of stuff. It was probably one of the coolest booths, like next to Funko's at the show. But yeah, Tabitha and I got a chance to meet him briefly, get an autograph, and sit in on his main stage spotlight panel. And I think I kind of said this on the way home, but it was listening to him speak as an author was incredible. I respect his brain even more than I did before. I still don't know how he manages to write as many books as he does in such short time, but people were asking him questions about one line from a chapter from one of his books about a character, and he just off the cuff was like, oh yeah, you'll find out more in this book, or you won't, or maybe it'll be like he did this thing he called Read and Find Out, Raffo. And if you ask a Raffo question, then you would get a card from him that basically said you ask a question that he couldn't answer because either it was coming in a future book or it was something too spoilery that he didn't want to give away to other readers for his novels.
That's really cool.
But, like, listening to his brain dissect and work through the questions and then getting to hear part of the new book that's coming out in December was absolutely awesome. It was incredible.
Now, did you say that he read, like, three chapters of that book?
He read, well, it was about 2.5 by the time cut him off. But it was about, he said, he even quoted it as, like, I have 38 minutes. That should get us through, like, these two chapters. And he got through part of it. He's like, well, we're going to keep going a little bit further. And then he's like, well, that's a good breaking point, and we're out of time. So that was it.
Nice.
Yeah.
Tabitha, you got anything to add?
I think I posted it on my personal Instagram, but like I've always said I would never fall for being in a cult, and then I heard Brandon Sanderson speak and I had to take it all back, because if that man ever started a cult, I'd be like, that sounds like a great idea.
So not only did we just go there for funsies, but we also got a few interviews while we were at C2E2, so you're going to hear these interspersed with other topics that we talk about. Our first interview is with creator Anderson Carmen. He caught my attention with his designs for his series Cyber League Baseball, which combines baseball with robots and sounds right up my alley. He's got other works, too. I picked up one of his other books, and I haven't read it yet, but it's very high up on my TBR currently.
Hey guys, Mitch here with The Geek Awakens, and I am here with comic book artist Anderson Carmen. Anderson, I know it's super early, but how's your C2E2 so far?
It's pretty great. I'm from Atlanta, Georgia, so it was a crazy flight out, but love the city so far. It's a lot colder than Georgia is right now.
Yeah, and we've been teased, like, the weather is supposed to be, like, in the 70s and everything this weekend, but I went out for coffee this morning, and I was very chilly because I didn't have my jacket.
Yeah, I usually freeze to death, so I'm happy so far that I brought a jacket.
So one of the things that caught my attention while I was checking out your Instagram, your designs for Cyber League Baseball. What's this about?
Yeah, so Cyber League Baseball, this is my webcomic on Webtoon. It is basically what if cyborgs were allowed to play in baseball, but then there's a team of all-natural players, and they want to see if they can beat them without the use of any of these augmentations. So it's kind of like a steroid commentary, almost. But then it's also, I just like baseball. So I just wanted to draw a baseball comic, and what better way to do it than cyborg baseball players.
I mean, yeah, I'm here for it. But that's not also the only thing that you've got. I know you've got a couple other books here. Tell us about those.
Yeah, so my banner is Fear Hunters. This is a graphic novel. I wrote, illustrated, colored, the whole shebang. And this is like Men in Black, but for phobias. So if you're afraid of a giant of cockroaches, it manifests a giant cockroach monster. And then the fear hunters, they come in, they take it out. And then so there's just a bunch of different phobias in it. So it's a full arc. And then I've got this children's book. I've got two kids, one on the way. My very pregnant wife is here with me somewhere. So I wanted to make a kid's book. So this is Stan the Green Flamingo. It's just all about fitting in, or not fitting in, as the case may be. And then just a few mini comics. I've got this Old Man Windu fan comic that's just a lot of fun, just kind of random. But yeah.
So on your website, you've also have a thing to sign up for your Substack, which is called Drawing Conclusion.
Correct.
What
yes.
can people expect if they sign up?
So Drawing Conclusions, it's just kind of an update on my projects, what I've got coming on, shows I'm going to, things like that. There's some exclusive art that I don't post on, like, social media there. Some of the stuff now has been moved to Patreon, because I just launched a Patreon. And so one of the things that is, like, my biggest thing on Patreon is this philosophical rant, where I just go off about whatever thing the young kids are doing that I despise. I became a dad, and I turned 50, like, overnight.
I feel that.
So there's that. There's a giveaway at every show I go to. So if you sign up for the newsletter, you'll be entered to win an original piece of art, and I'll mail it to you after the show.
Awesome. Lastly, how can people find you online?
Online, you can go to my website, which is my name, AndersonCarmen.com. On Instagram, I'm at AndersonCarmen. On Twitter, I'm at AndersonCarmenArt, because I couldn't get my name. I'm so mad about that. I've, like, messaged the dude to try to get it, but nothing. And it's just like it's just an egg. It's nothing. I'm like, ah. And that's pretty much it. On Patreon is the best, and then the Webtoon. But if you go to my website, everything's linked from there. So you'll see Cyber League Baseball. You'll see the Patreon, all that jazz. So
awesome. Well, Anderson, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us. Enjoy the rest of your con.
Of course. Thanks, man.
Next up, probably the other really big get that C2E2 got was Funko. That's just going to be a thing, guys. was Funko. And I, unfortunately, not Seth, did not know about this, but I want you to explain your experience, because you are our resident Funko Pop geek. You sat in on the panel. You were able to actually get in line, even though you missed out on the initial lottery. So what were your experiences with Funko?
The Funko was really exciting. Friday was pretty busy with just kind of doing other things and getting acclimated to kind of the con floor. We had some interviews straight away on Friday. And then Saturday, we did some interviews like right off the bat. And then I was like, deuces, I'm going to go stand in line for 2 hours so I can make it into this Funko panel. It's the first time here in the Midwest. Period. They haven't been at any other cons. They've been on the West Coast and the East Coast with Emerald City Comic Con, San Diego Comic Con, and New York Comic Con. But this is their first time here in the Midwest for C2E2, which is super exciting. Going to the panel was really fun. I won two giveaways. I got a Funko Pop and a code for a pop myself, where you can make your own custom pop that looks like you.
I am so insanely jealous, and if you wake up one morning and you can't find it, you know why.
Because the cats took it?
Yes.
So yeah, it was a really fun panel where they actually had real full-on announcements of some coming products from not only Funko, but from Loungefly, which is like their style series. They're going to be continuing on with those like character backpacks that you're familiar with, but they're also coming out with like a sleek design that's kind of like a modern geek, where it's like very subtle geek imagery. The one they've currently got on display is one for Star Wars, which is a full backpack with a laptop sleeve. It looks really sick. The other one is like a low-key like sling messenger bag. It's very cool too, where you have to really like get close to it and see, oh, it's got, you know, subtle Star Wars here, and then you open it up and you see the full-on print. You're like, oh, this is awesome. So I'm really excited to see what that looks like moving forward. They own Mondo as well, which is kind of like a higher-end like toy line, and they announced they're going to be doing Thundercats and the Ghostbusters TV show. So that's all stuff that's going to be exciting coming down the line. And then, yeah, after they even did like a surprise signing by Funmaker Mike, who's the chief fun officer for Funko. So I got a couple things signed, got to meet him. I also got to meet him again on Sunday and do a photo with him. So overall, really cool panel. Their booth was set up and it was all themed as like a airport. So Mitch actually got to go in during the lottery system where they had all the pops. At the end of Sunday, they had like ran off all the good ones, but so they started letting other people in who didn't have reservations. So it was very easy for me to just like walk in, get some Poochies and some bags. Poochie from The Simpsons, Tabitha, don't make that face. It's not dirty. So yeah, overall, really cool theming. They did constant giveaways too every day. So on Sunday, I just was basically at their booth the whole time waiting for them to come out and like do more giveaways. Because apparently a pop in a code for a pop myself was not enough. I needed more giveaways. I didn't win anything, you know, which is fair. But yeah, that was kind of my experience with Funko.
So I didn't realize that by the time you were able to get in line that they had sold out of the like really good ones. So I know you picked up a few pops. Did you get all the ones that you wanted?
Yeah, really the one that I was super interested in was the Poochie pop. Just because it's Simpsons, I'm a big Simpsons fan, and it's, you know, Funko's kind of like neck and neck with the Simpsons on which one I like more. So being the first time they're here at C2E2, to have a Simpsons and Funko like together was like super awesome. So I'm glad I got that one. When I got in line, it was just the Simpsons one and like a Pokemon, I think is what they had left. Everything else was basically sold out. And then you got some other ones for yourself and for a friend of ours. So yeah, it was. I'm happy with what I got.
Nice. Matt, you're going to introduce our next interview. It was one that you did with Mike Madak. Am I pronouncing that right?
Yes. He's an artist that I found in Artist Alley. Just very cool fantasy type art. He started out doing pop culture and sports things, has been able to build on that, and he did a Kickstarter. So he's got a couple of like art books that are based in this world that are kind of all these fantasy elements that he likes, and he's kind of put together into his own vibe, and it was just incredible. So this is the interview with Mike.
All right, I'm Matt with Geek Awakens, and we're here with Mike Madak.
Hi.
How are you doing this morning?
Good. Good. How are you?
Good. Good. Con going so far? Going
yeah.
Well so far?
We're Saturday morning, and yesterday was great.
Good.
Didn't even feel like a weekday, so it was
excellent.
Good.
Excellent. Should be a busy day. Tickets are sold out today, so
okay. Nice.
Should be fun. So we're just kind of going to talk about what you've got going on. There's a lot of different art, a lot of different things. Mm-hmm. So I noticed you've done a number of different styles. You've done pop culture, sports, architecture. But a lot of what you have featured is more fantastical.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about that world and what inspired it.
So what you mentioned there, it seems like every 5 or 6 years I kind of do a reboot and like what I'm want to do, keep it fresh. And I think about 2016, I just wanted to, I was doing pop culture stuff, and I just wanted to do my own work and just make it my own, have my own project. And so I just went into fantasy world building, basically just drew whatever I wanted and just kept on working at it and built up a lot of different images, and I published it in a book and a tighter narrative around it. And I had a sort of a fantasy world book I created. So almost like if you're into gaming, it's almost like a campaign setting.
Okay.
Or if you're into like video games, it's like a concept for a video game that doesn't exist. Or otherwise, it's just an easy, fun read where you get lost in immersion. And that was a big thing. Like, I love the immersion of certain video games. And a lot of the subject matters, what inspired it was just me regurgitating everything I loved in my life and just trying to make an original twist on it.
Kind of putting all of that together.
Yeah.
Excellent. So I did notice that you recently did a Kickstarter for your book.
Yeah.
Was it – help me with the pronunciation
of the
name. Oh,
I don't even know.
You don't even know?
Agnema?
Okay.
Let's just go Agnema. But I know it's a U, but I like how Agnema sounds.
All right.
So it's called Agnema Raypod's The Curiously Astounding Phenomenal Wonder. And so that is the world-building book. So it was my second printing. Sold out of the first printing, and then was without it for about a year. But I finally got it out again, and I published a sort of a sketchbook of all the stuff that didn't make it in called Yada Yada Yada. So it was just not important enough to be in there.
All right.
So the title is this inside joke for me. So now I got the core book and sort of a compendium sketchbook that goes along with it.
Okay, awesome. So the world is ISA?
Yes.
Is that? Okay.
ISA, whatever.
All right. Yeah. Do you have plans now that you've got two books? Are you going to go back and revisit that world and expand?
Oh yeah. I've been a lot of, like right here, I got a lot of concepts for characters and places that that are in future projects.
Awesome.
Just sort of working through developing a set of characters or a set of stories. Doing a more narrative type of traditional comic stuff. So a lot of people look at the book and they ask me like if there's a story. I'm like, I'm pretty insistent. I'm like, yes, there is a story. It's like, is this just an art book? I'm like, no. You. I give you enough there where you're. I want people to make it their own.
Okay.
So I give you enough information, a little bit of starter where your imagination can start and like take it wherever it wants to go.
Awesome.
And so, but there seems to be a demand for sure for having just a story by itself.
Like an actual.
Who would have thought, right?
Right.
You know,
okay.
People like that stuff. But yeah, I'm working towards making more narrative type of work.
That's awesome. That's fantastic. It looks incredible. I'm super excited to pick one of these up because the art is just amazing.
Thanks.
I don't know. It's one of those art styles that definitely I connect with. And it's awesome.
My joke for that is I just ripped off a lot of people don't know about, so it feels original. It's just like I loved Heavy Metal magazine.
Okay.
Well, not that I loved it, but it got my attention, and it was just really different.
Yeah.
And a lot of the French and like Italian like comic books that they republished and put it in English, it just style was so different, and I just was gravitated to it.
That's awesome. Well, one last thing then, and let our listeners know where they can find you and your artwork and the books online.
Oh, yeah. Just look up, just go by my name, madak.com, or just search Madak. You'll find my Etsy store. That's where everything's available. You can just search the title of the book as well. It should all filter your... I'm on social media, just at mmadak, Instagram.
Awesome.
But yeah, I'm out there.
All right. So. Well, thank you very much for your time. I appreciate it. And enjoy the rest of your con.
All right. Yeah, thanks. This is great.
So we've talked about a few of like the big panels, but like there were other panels that we went to. For myself, I ended up going to two panels over the weekend. There was another one that I wanted to go to, but they ended up being kind of like a scheduling conflict. But one that I was really excited for was the Ted Lasso panel. It had two of the actors from Ted Lasso. It was fun, you know, but it was them answering questions. The one that I was really excited for and one that I really was glad that I went to was the one for Across the Massiveverse. It was moderated by Kyle Higgins, who is kind of like the creative mind behind the Massiveverse over at Image Comics. He is the writer on Radiant Black, but the Massiveverse also includes like Rogue Sun, No One, Radiant Red, The Dead Lucky. Like I'm missing a few, I'm sure. But this has been one of the big like comic franchises that I've been really invested in, especially Radiant Black. So what was really cool was, you know, they were kind of like, you know, teasing what's coming up with the especially with the Radiant Black, with the Catalyst War, that's just about over. But at the very end, they mentioned a new audiobook that's coming out based on Radiant Black. So I think it was last year, maybe the year before, they released like a short animated video with Will Friedle voicing Marshall, who is one of the holders of Radiant Black. So he is reprising his role, but joining him, playing the role of Nathan, is Ryder Strong, who was also on Boy Meets World. I am so pumped for this. I'm not usually an audiobook guy. For whatever reason, I just can't quite get into them, but I am so pumped for this. Tabitha, did you go to any other panels that's worth talking about?
I did not.
Okay.
I didn't go to, like, I went to the Brandon Sanderson panel, and this year, so the last C2E2 that we went to, I felt like the vendor hall, the vendor area was a little, like, lacking as in comparison to previous years, but this year, they, like, super stepped up their game. There were so many vendors there. Like, any time that I thought I was going to spend in a panel ended up being spent just wandering the vendors and checking out everything that they had.
Nice. Matt, were there any other panels that you went to that you want to talk about?
I did do two other panels, and I will just I'll touch on them briefly. One was a panel of writers, and they were discussing the hero's journey as a trope and then kind of subjugating that or flipping it on its head and how to go about that. One of the authors that I'm hoping we're going to be able to get an interview with later, Mark J. Gregson, was part of that panel. And his YA fantasy novel just came out in April. So it was fun to hear all of these authors and their take on kind of like breaking the mold for a hero's journey as far as writing goes. The other one I got to go to was a comic book horror writers panel, and it was kind of just about, in general, how horror comics are more and more popular than kind of ever before. They all kind of mentioned that they've always been around, but the popularity has kind of risen lately. One of the big names on that panel was Tim Seeley, who we've read some things by. Mm-hmm. And that was just a fun, interesting look kind of into the minds of all of those writers and comic book artists, and how horror is their chosen genre for telling their stories. Just a good time.
Nice. Our next interview is one that Lydia did, and I'm going to apologize to both Lydia and to the person that she interviewed, because this was done on Saturday. It was like by far the busiest day of the con, and this person was in Artist Alley. So I was like, I am extraneous. I do not need to be in the middle of Artist Alley, so I will not be in the middle of Artist Alley. I also, hopefully by the time you guys hear this, I will have released more of the videos of these interviews, but I have not gotten to his yet, so I legitimately have no idea what this interview is about. So here is Lydia talking with Clayton McCormick.
Hey guys, Lydia here with Geek Awakens, talking to Clayton McCormick. How
That's
are you
me.
Doing?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
Doing pretty good.
Excellent.
How's your con going?
Pretty good. This is my first time at C2E2.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I've seen a lot of this 20 square feet of the convention center, but I'm looking forward to seeing more.
Good. I hope you get a chance to wander around.
Me too.
So, first question I have for you
is
a book that we picked up yesterday from you. What is Bloody Hell?
Bloody Hell is about five mystically powered Vikings who've been imprisoned for 1,000 years, and they're set loose when their prison's destroyed by an artillery shell from World War I. And so they get set loose, all juiced up on magic, and start wreaking havoc during the First World War.
Wow. So what was
It's a small coming-of-age story.
Nice. Yeah. What was the inspiration for combining these two ideas together, having the Vikings in World War I?
I'll be honest with you. A friend of mine and I were kind of kicking some ideas around, and we said, what is the most heavy metal thing you can think of? And first it was Vikings in World War II, and then I said, well, World War II is kind of overdone, and World War I is a lot more morally gray, and so I thought it would be a lot more interesting. And so I did this this piece right here was the first concept drawing that I did. I don't know if you can see anything down the bottom there, but it's to combine the Viking imagery with the trench warfare, just to see if the two things gelled, and it thought it looked pretty good. So, yeah.
So how much research went into the different histories that are in this book?
Quite a bit. I did a lot of World War I history. I read a number of books. I read a lot about different Viking stuff. You know, it's funny doing that sort of stuff because you take it all in and you expect it to come out in a very specific manner, but it never does. And so it's more of just sort of like generalized details and kind of like, you know where certain things are and when they happen. But, you know, I like to take in as much as I can because I think it helps me form a more solid base for whatever ridiculous story I'm telling on top of it.
Well, you did a very good job. We haven't got a chance to finish it yet, but I'm excited to finish it when we get back tonight.
I'm glad you stopped before the ending, so I couldn't disappoint you.
So also, at the end of the book, we did notice that there's a panel, looks like, showing a sequel?
Yes.
How's that coming along?
Well, okay, so the sequel is called Bloody Heil. And as all great ideas do, this one came from a typo. I was writing a text message to a friend of mine where I wrote I had not intended to do a sequel. And I wrote Bloody Hell in my phone, and it's one L. It's H-E-L, like the goddess Hell. And my phone auto-corrected Hell to Heil. And I saw it there, and I was like, oh, that title's too good not to use. Now I have to write a sequel. So the sequel, I don't know when I'm going to get a chance to do it, hopefully soon, but it's going to be a World War II thing. I think it's going to be pretty different from the first one.
Awesome. We'll look forward to it. So you also have another book coming out that you were telling us is currently free on Amazon Prime. What's up with that one?
Yes, it's called Hard Style Juice. It's a professional wrestling murder mystery about a wrestling family who has a tragedy befall them, and the youngest daughter of that family has to step into a role she didn't think that she was going to have to take on, and in doing so, she thinks that this tragedy that everyone thinks is an accident might have actually been murder. And so it's kind of she's dealing with her family problems, but she's also taking her grief out in the ring and also on people who she thinks might be behind it.
Awesome.
And you can find that if you go to hardstylejuice.com. It'll take you right to the Amazon page. It's from Comixology Originals. It's a digital first book, so that's the only place you can get it right now. And if you have Amazon Prime, it's free to read.
Awesome. Well, Clayton, thank you so much for talking to us.
Yeah.
And one last thing, where can people find you and all of your work online?
I'm mostly just on Instagram and Twitter. At my handle for both is cmccormick414. Yeah, and I also have a couple podcasts I do, called The Penske File, which is a Star Trek podcast, and The Rotten Horror Picture Show, which is a horror movie podcast, where we talk about films off the Rotten Tomatoes 200 Best Horror Movies of All Time list, which I will tell you is a very flawed list, but it's fun. And I do a Batman show with Batman artist Sean Murphy called The Bat-Ass Podcast, B-A-T-T-A-S-S. So I do a lot of stupid stuff. So
that's awesome. Well, Clayton, thanks so much for talking with us.
Appreciate
a good
con. Thank you. You too.
Next up, this is something that we did a couple years ago. We didn't do it last year, but it's back. Tabitha, let's talk about our bingo game.
I would like to start out with saying that I was the first person to hit a bingo.
Yeah, rigged.
Not rigged.
I demand a recount.
This is not Florida.
It's about to be January 6th.
Ooh. Hot take. So this year's bingo card, I took some inspiration from previous year's bingo cards, and also I kind of gave us our own little dig. Like, everybody got their own little square, if you will. So instead of having just like, oh, I saw Harley Quinn, or oh, I saw a kid on a leash, or whatever, I put like, not Seth is not the person who is sassy, or somebody does an epic eye roll and it's not Tabitha, or somebody drops something and it's not Lydia. Like, everyone got like a little moment on the bingo board this year. And I already have some excellent ideas for next year that I'm keeping track of going forward, so I don't forget them. And I'm scrambling on the way to C2E2 in the car trying to build a bingo board. Because let me tell you one thing, if there is something that is complicated, it is using Photoshop on your phone while the car is moving. It is absolutely terrible. I have a lot of fun with this. I think it also helps us pay a little bit more attention to our surroundings, because I get a little tunnel vision-y, especially on the con floor, and I think we all kind of do, where we're just like, we're on a mission, we're like trying to go somewhere. I think the bingo board kind of like pulls us out of it and is like, okay, like I'm looking for a Barbie, or I'm looking for, you know, someone being sassy, or, you know, something like that. I have fun with these. I hope you guys do too. Next year, my dream is to release this early. So maybe the other people at CTWE2 can find this and play along with us. But we'll see. As long as I'm not creating this in the car next year, everything will be fine.
My one request for next year, can we randomize the options? Because everybody looking for, you know, kid on a leash at the top left corner, you know.
I see what you're saying. So, like, everyone gets their own bingo card where they're in different places.
Yeah.
I can do that.
Yeah.
I could have probably done that with more time, but again, the car.
Yeah, that's fine. That's fair. So, our next interview, I was really, really excited, especially when they agreed to it. So, one of the comic publishers at C2E2 this year was Silver Sprocket. They're out of California. So, we've been lucky to be able to review many of their books. So, like I said, when I was scrolling Facebook and I saw them as one of the vendors, I was so pumped. And luckily, we had the chance to talk to Avi, who is the creator and publisher of Silver Sprocket. This was a really fun interview. It's unfortunate because there was, before the interview started, I had to cut it out of the video that I've edited, but there was this really funny part where they're getting warmed up by doing push-ups. So I really, really, really wanted to keep that in, but then we started talking about other things. We started talking about, like, you know, like how this interview is going to go and everything like that, and it just didn't work. But anyway, check out this interview with Avi.
Hey guys, Mitch here with The Geek Awakens, and I am here with Avi, who is the publisher and creator of Silver Sprocket. It's day two of C2E2. How's your con going so far?
We're having a great time. We're already Sunday level exhausted on a Saturday, so I think that means we're conning well.
Yeah, I think as of last night, we were Saturday or Sunday morning exhausted on Friday night, so I feel ya.
Beautiful.
So, for those who may not know Silver Sprocket, it's not a typical comic book, brand or label or whatever. So, tell us a little bit about it.
We're a radical indie comic publisher. So, everything is creator owned, but that's not just like a lot of these creator owned companies are really like IP farms trying to develop comics for movies or whatever. But we're a comic publisher. Like, we make money selling comics. We pay royalties to artists for comics. And we really are trying to just get, like, the art that we want to... Like, I wish that comics like this were accessible, like, easily around when I was coming up. And they're just, you know, really rad, fun, rewarding books that I, you know, really think are good for the world and just a lot of joy to engage with. So, we're just a lot of kinds of stories and creators you don't really see typically represented elsewhere, but really doing fantastic work.
Nice. And we've got a huge selection of books here. But is there anything upcoming that you might be able to tease?
By the time this podcast hits, well, we're about to launch our fall season with, 11 more new books coming out. We've got some returning artists like Alec Robbins, a.k.a. Mr. Boop, Jen Woodall, who did the Magical Beatdown series, Leo Fox, who did like a award-winning Prokaryote season. I don't know. We've so much coming out all the time. We have two or three books a month. It makes my head spin, but they're all very good.
Nice, nice. And then final question, because it is getting super busy right now, but if you weren't stuck behind a booth all weekend, what would you be cosplaying as?
Oh my god. I would love to figure out a way to do Scud the Disposable Assassin, but I don't know how I would pull that off. Like, maybe like tubes, like cardboard. That would be interesting. Some anonymity by having like some kind of a furry costume might be fun, but I'm not sure what my fursona would quite be at this moment. Something weird and confusing that, like, one out of 200 people would get, but then they'd, like, piss their pants about it.
Oh, yeah. My favorite cosplays are the ones where it's like, not a lot of people are going to understand it, but those who do, like, awesome.
Yeah, totally.
So, Albie, thank you so much for taking time to talk to us. Enjoy the rest of the con.
My pleasure. Thank you very much.
Next up, not Seth, I'm going to make you talk again. I'm sorry. But it's really important that you talk this one again. So the next thing, this was new this year to C2E2, was the Pride Lounge. And one of the things in there was that you could play PC video games. So on Saturday, we went up, or maybe it was Friday, one of the days, we went up to check it out. And we went up to check it out. And we ended up playing Left 4 Dead 2. Yeah. So this was my first time ever playing a computer game. So, not Seth, how did it go?
So, yeah, we were playing Left 4 Dead. They had a whole gaming setup, which was really cool. Like, it was local LAN at the con. And we were playing Left 4 Dead 2, which I was like, he's like, oh, you guys can play Fortnite. I was like, I'm not into Fortnite. And he said Left 4 Dead 2, and that's one of my favorite games. I played that multiple times, single player and with multiplayer. So I was like, okay, yeah, I'm interested. This was Mitch's first time playing a game, and we had on, like, the really big, like, bulky, like, headsets. So how it went was, I was like, all right, now you can put your fingers on WASD. He's like, why? And I was like, because that's how you go forward. And then I was like, all right, now you need to pick up stuff. And I'm like yelling this over, because we weren't sitting next to each other, because the computer next to me, of course, didn't have the game. So you had to sit two away from me. So I'm just trying to yell this at him. I'm like, all right, now E to pick up this gun. Okay, okay. Now follow me. And he'd just be in circles, spinning around. I was like, you got to come downstairs. Follow me this way, this way. And I just look back, and he's just underneath the stairs, just stuck there. And I was like, there was also one point where, in the very first level, where you have to, like, jump over, like, an island in a kitchen because the rest is on fire. And he just kept trying to walk into it. And I was like, press the space bar. And he'd press the space bar and just jump where he was in place. And I was like, also press W, please. At the end, he didn't do too bad. Like, he got a good number of, like, kills in the game. So I'd say it's pretty successful for a first time, especially an intense game like Left 4 Dead, to learn controls.
Not once, but twice, I was, like, hanging off of a cliff and needed someone to save me. So there's also that. It was an experience. Our next interview is one that Matt did. This was in Writer's Block. So let's talk about Pretty Nerd Publishing.
So Pretty Nerd Publishing is a sole proprietorship publishing company by Dr. Ariel Sylvester from Chicago. It was something that she started when she was working on her dissertation. She gives us a lot of information in this interview, and she does a really good job explaining, much better than I could, on how things came about. So let's just go to interview and Pretty Nerd Publishing.
I am Matt with The Geek Awakens, and we are here with Dr. Ariel Sylvester.
Yes.
Of Pretty Nerd Publishing.
Yes.
How are you doing this morning?
I'm fine, and you excited to be at C2E2?
Yeah, having a good con so far?
Yes.
Good. You said you had a panel last night. How'd that go?
It went well. We had a lot of people who were interested in independent publishing, so the panel was able to speak to that, and I hope we encouraged a lot of people to get started.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Fantastic. So just as a quick overview, what is Pretty Nerd Publishing and how did it come about?
So Pretty Nerd Publishing is my sole proprietorship. It's my publishing business.
Okay.
And the way it came about was during my dissertation, I had to be at home because it was COVID. So I couldn't go out into the field and do research. So I had to do research completely at home. And I had quit my job to focus solely on that. So I wasn't going to school at night, wasn't going to work to be a teacher in the morning. So now I was just like, I'm going to be bored. So I decided to write 12 books in 7 different genres in 1 year. I did all of my illustrations, all of the writing, And I was at DePaul University, so they did copy editing for me for free, but not really because I was paying tuition. So that's how all of the books came about. And I said, well, I'm going to need a publishing company name to really sound legit. So I started my own publishing business, and now I offer people self-publishing help who need
it. That's fantastic.
Thank you.
Wonderful. So the biggest thing that you've kind of got displayed is your graphic novel series.
Yes.
Give us a background. Give us a little bit of a brief overview of the story.
Awesome. So it's called The Splendid Saba Saga. Saba is seven in Swahili.
Okay.
So they're the Splendid Seven. It's a mom and a dad and their five kids. And they're a black superhero family based in Chicago. And if you know anything about Chicago, you know that we have a lot of gun violence. So they fight against gang and gun violence and racial hatred. And each member of the family has their own superpowers. So towards the end of the book, they get a call from the president. And he asks them, what can you all do about human trafficking? So that will be volume two of the book. So they deal with a lot of social justice issues, teaching their kids to value the world that we live in and use their powers to do good to break some of those social justice issues.
That's incredible. So there's a story and a setup for a sequel and everything.
Yes.
So I write myself. So I have a question. Why the novel and the graphic novel? Why publish in both formats? That's uncommon?
Yes. So the way I thought about it was when I first did the age groups, because I was a teacher,
mm-hmm.
and I got inspiration from my students who were sad about Chadwick Boseman or Black Panther passing away.
Okay.
So I wanted them to have superheroes that they could look up to. When I'm thinking about students or kids, they would love a graphic novel.
Right.
But a lot of adults were into the idea as well, so I thought, hey, they may not be interested in graphic novel, but a sci-fi novel without graphics.
Okay.
So it's the same storyline, no graphics, but for middle school, high school, they have the graphics to keep them interested in the book.
That's a wonderful way to do that. That's fantastic. It gets
all the different
age groups.
Yes.
That's crazy. Okay. I love that. Now, you did mention that you wrote 12 other books?
Yeah.
What are some of those books? And it's a lot of different genres to tackle all at once.
Yes. I was hoping not to drive myself crazy. So I have a sci-fi novel and the graphic novel series. So the graphic novel series is 6 books, and the sci-fi novel is one of the books.
Okay.
I also have a children's book. I don't know if you guys can see it, but it's called The Sun Eats Hot Peppers and Ice Cream, The Moon Drinks Coffee, and The Stars Eat Bean Burritos. And it's a cute story about why the sun is hot and it goes away at night, why the moon comes out at night, and why the stars are made of gas, because they eat bean burrito. The next story is an intergenerational memoir. It's featuring my great-grandmother, my grandmother, my mom, and myself.
Oh, wow.
So it's about all the things I learned from them as women, all the different things that they taught me, and us being women of our time. My great-grandmother came here from Mississippi, a part of the Great Migration, to Chicago. So it's sharing that story of our family. My great-grandmother and my grandmother are no longer here, so it's a legacy piece for them, and when I have kids one day, for them to know about them. Educating the household was based on my dissertation research, so I decided to focus on single moms who are college students and who need access to affordable childcare. The grant that I focused on is C Campus. It stands for Childcare Access Means Parents in Schools. And it's an $82 million grant from the U.S. Department of Education, and they give it to colleges and universities so that students who are parents can have access to affordable childcare. The next book is Sweet Cane. It's a murder mystery, so it's about a sugar baby. And she has 3 sugar daddies that she has on rotation. This is her livelihood, and she has a good livelihood from it. But what happens is her body is found dead at an abandoned construction site, because in Chicago we have like 3 seasons, summer, winter, and construction season. So her dead body is found there, but the construction workers, the construction company is owned by one of her sugar daddies. So the police have to figure out between her 3 sugar daddies and their wives and girlfriends who might have killed her.
Oh.
Yes. And then Daughters of Vivian was actually a novel that I was working on when I was 16, but I really didn't know how to go about publishing, so I was glad that I could finally get it done. But Vivian is a publisher herself of a global magazine, and what she does with the proceeds is focus on providing adequate medical care to developing countries. As she goes to these developing countries, she also adopts daughters, because she had her own biological daughter but couldn't have any more kids. So she goes to Tanzania, Bosnia, Brazil, and Taiwan, and adopts different daughters from there, and they're all in different age groups.
Aww.
Vivian passes away, and her daughters are not in a good place. and they're not talking to each other. So what she does is tell them, because she has a huge trust fund for everybody, you can't get access to your will unless you guys come together as a family. So she begins sending them letters from the dead to get them closer together and get their lives together.
That's incredible.
Thank you.
The fact that you are able to span all of those genres is absolutely insane, because, I mean, publishing in general is such a genre-driven basis, and to be able to stretch across them, unless you're doing intentionally, like, mashing up genres, like, to do
it's
from
hard.
One to the other, that's not easy to do. Well, that's fantastic.
Thank you so
much.
They
sound amazing.
Thank you.
One last thing before we go.
Yes.
Tell our listeners where they can find you and your books online.
So you can find me at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Apple Books, and Google Play. Apple and Google have ebooks, and Google also has audiobooks. Amazon and Barnes & Noble have hardcover and paperback, and I also have a website. It's prettynerdpublishing.godaddysites.com. I do have Instagram, but no pictures are up yet. Coming soon. So please check me out, and please check out my books. And if you're interested in self-publishing and you want to know more about that, please reach out as well.
Well, wonderful. Thank you very much for taking the time to talk to us. Enjoy the rest of your con, and have a good weekend.
Thank you. You too.
So, of course, the biggest part of C2E2 is meeting celebrities and getting photo ops or signatures, but also buying stuff. Whether it's in Artist Alley or whether it's, you know, from the Tower of T-shirts or what have you. I know I spent more money than... I didn't spend more money than I planned on, but I spent more money than I probably should have, if that makes sense. So what was probably... We're going to do like a round robin here. What was the coolest thing you either did or bought for the whole weekend? And Matt, we're going to start with you.
It's kind of a toss-up, but so that I don't steal anybody's thunder... I got a chance to get autographs from both James Tynion IV and from Brian Azzarello. Brian Azzarello signed Batman Damned and
Bat-peen.
What? Yeah.
Bat-peen.
Which he did bring up when I brought him the comic to sign. He's like, he signed it and then he went to go put it in the bag and he goes, it was $6.99. He goes, how'd you get it for that price? I'm like, I have had this since day of. And he goes, that seems to be the general story. And then he was talking about how disappointing was he worked 2 years on that story and all anybody ever cared about was the Batawang in issue 1. But it was cool to meet him. It was cool to get that signed. And then James Tynion was doing free signing for 3 items or less that were ungraded signatures. So I literally just had to stand in line. So I was able to get my copy of issue 1 of Batman Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles crossover signed by him. So that was, I actually planned to take comics this year to get them signed, and I actually did, so I'm pretty excited about that.
Tabitha, what about you?
So the thing I'm happiest that I bought has absolutely nothing to do with me. The C2E2, like, logo shirt, like, whatever they call it, like, their main, like, offer, is something that had, like, a bunch of, like, popular Chicago skyline buildings on it, as well as, like, a dragon and a mermaid and a polar bear and the bean. Very Chicago-centric. And it was also on the 3-day passes. And as soon as Matt saw that, he was like, this is so cool. And he kept talking about it. And I'm like, this kid is never going to go and buy himself this shirt. So the second I could get him to go away from me, I kidnapped Evan. And we went over to the C2E2 merch booth. Mitch eventually joined us as well. And I picked up the C2E2 shirt for Matt. And by the time we got there, which was fairly early on Friday, they were already sold out of, what, 2 of the sizes, I think?
Yeah.
Or at least 1 of. Yeah, it might have been even 3 of them. And then by Sunday, that shirt was gone.
By Saturday,
oh,
it was
no
gone.
Kidding? Okay.
I'm like, fairly positive.
Yeah. So I'm very glad that I picked that up pretty much immediately for Matt, because he's so bad about buying himself things, and now he has it, and it's sold out. I have never seen anything sell out that quickly at that merch booth, ever. That was wild.
Not Seth, what about you?
I mean, not sound like a broken record, but the Funko thing was probably the coolest thing. Yeah, I was just really excited to finally, after like like since 2016 I've been a Funko fan, to like actually see Funko in person, see Fun Maker Mike, get to talk to people who are like way more into Funkos than I am, and be like, cool, this is what the other side sees when they talk to me. So yeah, definitely I think just being in the panel and experiencing Funko, like they definitely have the most energetic and like the most passionate fan base. So yeah.
Nice. For me, it was really two of the celebrities that I met. First being Phil Dunster from Ted Lasso. That I think I even said this in pre-2E2, but like that show over the past year, year and a half, however long, has meant so much to me. And getting to meet him was fantastic. I unfortunately did not get to meet Christo. Just kind of like one of those things that timing and whatever, just it didn't really work out. But also getting to meet Chip Zdarsky was phenomenal. I walked by his booth on Friday, and the line was just insane. So I turned to Notseth and I was like, okay, so Sunday I'm pretty much going to immediately go to his booth, and that's just going to be how I make it happen. So Saturday night, we're about done, but there was one other thing in Artist Alley that I wanted to check out. We happened to walk by his booth, and the line was, I don't know, maybe 3 or 4 people deep. Not long at all. So I was like, we're doing this right now. By the time I was done, you know, he signed a couple of my Spider-Man comics. Like, he wrote for Spectacular Spider-Man. It's not just like, hey, here's a couple of random Spider-Man comics. He even, like, drew a little Spider-Man on one of them, which was really cool. I got my selfie with him. It was great. By the time we were done with that, I didn't even care about the other thing that we were in Artist Alley for. I was like, we're done here. And we left. It was fantastic. So our final interview is with Jarrett Melendez. If that name sounds familiar, he is the creator of Chef's Kiss, which is a graphic novel that we reviewed a couple years back, and we all loved it. Of course, one of the things I asked about him, or one of the things I asked about, was the upcoming sequel. So listen to this video to find out.
Hey guys, Mitch here with The Geek Awakens, and I am here with comic creator Jarrett Melendez. Jarrett, it's early, but how's your con going so far?
So far, so good. I've had a bunch of people stop by already, which has been nice, and pick up some good gay content. Yeah, it's been a good, strong start to the day already.
Awesome. So we reviewed Chef's Kiss when it came out a couple of years ago. We were super pumped about it. It was one of our favorite graphic novels of the year.
Thank you.
You've got a sequel coming out. What can you tease us about the sequel?
So in the way that Volume 1 deals with, like, kind of coming-of-age issues, like you're out of college and you kind of, like, feel directionless. In Volume 2, it's about, like, those early days in a relationship where you are trying very hard to be the best version of yourself to, like, hang on to this person that you care very much for and letting other things slip through the cracks and then doing a reversal and then letting the relationship stuff fall through the cracks and just like trying to find that balance of like, how do I just be in a relationship and also function as a normal human being?
Which is way easier said than done sometimes.
Yeah. And as readers will see, both Ben and Liam struggle a lot in there's some rough scenes in there, but things will turn out okay, I think.
Good, good. Yeah. Arguably, one of our favorite characters is Watson the Pig. Two questions. One, does he show up in the sequel?
Of course.
Okay. And what was your inspiration behind this just amazing character?
So, you know, I mean, like, in a lot of anime series and Disney movies, there's always, like, that pet slash mascot that is, like, obviously, like, a little more sentient than just, like, a regular animal. And we wanted that kind of like pet mascot character for Chef's Kiss. And I am personally obsessed with pigs. And in my bio, if you read it literally anywhere, like conventions on my website or like maybe in like interviews and stuff like that, you'll see like Jarrett Melendez lives in Somerville with his collection of Monokurobu plush pigs. And that is true. That's actually, we don't have the hardcover here, but in the hardcover version that just came out last, or that comes out in May, We we did photos of our workspaces, and one of the photos for my workspace is my collection of plush pigs.
I love it. I love it. You've also done cookbooks based on different fandoms, including one you just announced like earlier this week that based on Wednesday.
Yes.
So how do you like come up with these recipes to match all these different fandoms?
It can be really tricky because like, so for some cookbooks, you know, like Pokemon, like, you know, we weren't allowed to do anything that was like food in world. It all had to be stuff that was inspired by different Pokemon. So a lot of it was just like me scrolling through an online Pokedex and like literally just like doing roulette and just going like and stopping and then looking at like whatever 12 or however many Pokemon were on screen and being like, oh, that one's like these colors. I bet like, oh, you know what would be good with this is like chocolate and then this and then whatever. And like if you look, I've got a Bidoof tattoo on my wrist. Bidoof's like my favorite and he's like all earth tones. So for him, I was like, okay, well, like he's got kind of like peanut butter colors in him. He's got chocolate colors in him. And then that color's like dark brown, kind of like a pretzel. And so for his recipe in my book, it's a peanut butter tart with a pretzel crust and chocolate ganache drizzled on top. And then his face is on it with a little cherry for his nose.
That is wonderful.
Yeah. For other stuff like RuneScape, where there's a ton of food in game, a lot of it was just like one to ones. Like, okay, well, we're just gonna teach, you know, players, fans of this fandom, like how to make this dish. Yeah.
So, how can people find you online?
I am at Jamarmel, Jamarmel. It's the first syllable of my first, middle, and last name. On Instagram, and then Jarrett Melendez everywhere else. But Instagram is probably the best place to find me.
Awesome. Well, Jarrett, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us.
Absolutely.
Enjoy the rest of your con.
Thank you. You too. Thanks. Awesome.
So that's really all that we have for this C2E2 special for 2024. But we are already getting ready for C2E2 25. Next year's dates are April 11th through the 13th. And plot twist, that's the day after my 40th birthday. We're going ham in Chicago for my 40th birthday. I'm just letting you guys know right now. But I guess, and don't take this the wrong way, Matt, but you're the only one of us in his 40s. Will I be going ham on my 40th birthday?
On your 40th, yes. The day after probably is going to be kind of rough.
Fair enough. I guess I've got 300 and some odd days because I can't do math right now. 300 and some odd days to go. So thanks for listening, guys. This has been a lot of fun. This is one of our favorite things to do every year, and we're glad that we get to share that with you. Everybody say bye.
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 That's going to do it for this episode of The Geek Awakens. If you have any questions, comments, or concerns, shoot us an email at thegeekawakenspodcast@gmail.com.
It would be a shame if you didn't follow us on Facebook and Instagram at The Geek Awakens Podcast or on Twitter at Geek Awakens.
Theme music created and produced by E. Cannon Beats.
Our logo was designed by Shay McCain.
Thanks for listening. We'll catch you next time. We're boldly gone.